So yeah, it's so difficult to strike the balance there.
It
so
is
so
difficult. And I think one of the things that have been saving me is actually there's a couple of verses. One of them, I think everyone knows this one, is take every thought captive, bring it in obedience to Christ. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5.
Yeah.
And I love that because we take every thought captive. I think that also speaks to us being aware of where our thoughts are wandering. I don't know if that's something that we can physically do all the time. I think obviously because it's in the Bible, mm-hmm. it's something that we can do, or we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us
yes,
do.
Yeah, yeah. I almost said us to do, but
yes,
us to help us do.
The English.
Yeah.
But essentially, to take every thought captive, that means you must be aware of what is coming in your mind space. And I think, you know, the life of fantasizing and stuff like that, the point is you're just letting your mind run free. You're not filtering it with, is this obedient to Christ? Is this in alignment with the Christian perspective?
Mm.
Or am I just letting these thoughts run wild? Because, you know, we need the helmet of salvation. There is limits. We need to, I don't want to say we need to limit our mind, because I don't think that's the right phrase.
Yeah.
But there is a boundary, you know,
parameters.
There is protection that we need to be aware of. It's part of the armor that our minds don't get attacked, and to be to make sure that our minds are not being attacked, whether they're being, you know, thoughts being influenced by the media or by any random thing that's not of God, and you're accepting them and you're just letting them run wild and have a great time in your mind.
Yeah.
There is something that is protecting you. You know, the Lord is asking us to put the helmet of salvation on so that we protect our minds, which means there must be someone on watch. There must be someone on guard.
Can I tell you what has always been an issue with me and the armor?
Mm.
And now I'm talking in the flesh. This
okay,
is
cool.
Just given, right? I'm not stating this as like, ugh, this needs to become doctrine. My issue has always been the practical side.
Mm.
I see it, I understand it, and I hear it. But for me, I always have to understand something practically. What does my Monday to Friday look like when wearing the armor?
Mm.
You know, any part of it.
Yes.
Like, there are parts that have been explained to me so much so that I get it now.
Sure.
And I feel like this is, and I'm saying this because to say that for those of us who understand what those parts mean, you know, you probably resonate with more parts of the armor more than you do with others.
Yeah, that's true.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Like for me, faith, I understand it.
Mm.
I know when I'm not walking in faith, right? Like I've literally studied the shield of faith. Like it's, yeah, so. And it's the sword of righteousness, right?
The sword of the word of God. Sword of the Spirit.
The sword is the word of God. Yes, yes, yes. Duh.
We're not judging.
But anyways, yeah. But that, the point being that what do those aspects of the armor actually mean to you? And I'm talking about this because I feel like when it comes to what we're talking about, like living in fantasy and also balancing that out with like allowing yourself to see yourself, because there's a problem with not fantasizing, because there are people who don't see themselves worthy of living in any fantasy, whether it's the one God wants for them or not.
Sure.
Like there are people, I remember talking to this woman who was incredible at doing hair, like really incredible. She would fight me tooth and nail saying that, listen, I told God I don't want to be rich. Like, I'm not even talking about being rich. I'm like, you should train people, giving her ideas. And I got into trouble. I got shouted at.
Absolutely.
And I'm using her as an example. But I've met numerous people who don't want, they cannot see themselves living better than this.
Mm.
Right? And I've always looked at them and I've empathized and I've understood. You know, there's a friend of mine who was saying he likes the prayer of, Lord, don't give me so much that I become boastful.
Mm.
I feel like I get that, right? But I feel like that for a born-again Christian who is in Christ and who is growing to the fullness of Christ, that might be the wrong prayer. Take William Booth. I think it was William Booth. William Booth, I think. Maybe if I say it, a lot of people will realize who I'm talking about. The one who died with like 7 spoons and very little.
Okay.
That man lived a rich life. Sure. He just gave away everything. You understand what mm-hmm. I mean? So you can now say to God, give me just enough. But now you have just enough and very little to help others with.
Mm.
You understand? Or you can say, Lord, give me to the proportion of my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to have an overflow for the sake of those around me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those whom I'm able to help.
Yes.
William Booth, literally, if you read his life, you will be shocked that that man died with like owning 7 spoons. And like literally, you could hold the things he owned like this. You understand? So his heart was in a completely different place than someone who said. So that means he prayed for both being wealthy and having in overabundance and not having anything at the same time.
Sure.
Right? So for me, it's and also him, he was an awesome man. But I also think he was like an extreme. And I mean, I say that in jest, but I mean, we can argue that that's probably like the normal Christian life.
Sure.
There's an argument for that. Yeah, but I hope I've made the point I'm trying to make clear. Like it's a very, first of all, a very difficult balance to strike.
Yes.
Because first of all, it's wrong for you to think so lowly of yourself.
Yeah.
That you cannot even envision yourself having that fantastic life, you know, living in that fantasy, while at the same time it's wrong to drunk yourself or drunken or whatever
the English,
you know what I mean, to get drunk off the fantasy. So there's like these
sober-minded,
exactly, being sober-minded. So it really is an issue, and I know, I feel like we talk about balance in I talk about balance in every episode.
It's necessary.
Yes. So there's that, and then also the point I was making earlier of what does it mean to you to guard your thoughts? Like, what does it look like practically? Right? And I was thinking of an answer, but I wanna hear what your thoughts are on that.
For me, actually, one of the scriptures helped me with that. In just guiding that. So let me just start with that. It's from Philippians 4:8. Paul says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things.
On these things.
And then the Amplified Version says, center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. And I think that's like the baseline.
Mm.
I think, first of all, just getting that scripture and knowing it and engraving it. That's not a word. Engraving it into your heart so that you may know.
A craftsman would engrave it.
That's the one. That's the one. He made the English made sense.
Yeah.
Like to engrave that into your heart so that when you are, you know, thinking about stuff, just being aware. I don't know. It's just like a light switch.
Mm.
You know, I think the phrase that we like to use is that I zone out. I don't want to zone out. I want to be consciously thinking about things in my life. And then I also want to have so much word in me that I can recognize, wait, that's not of God.
That's it. Yeah, that's where I was going to go.
Sure.
That's it. Yes.
So yeah, it's a learning process, but you can only combat bad thoughts with implanting good things. You know, you can only combat evil with good.
Yeah.
So we have consumed a lot of things. We all know, whatever your thoughts are about media, we consume a lot of things in our day-to-day life. Not all of them are Christian. Just be honest with yourself. And if you say it is, you're lying, but it's fine. Not all of these things are Christian. And sometimes we don't always filter them out.
Mm.
We just allow the thought to remain and not contend against the thing that is not in obedience to Christ.
Yeah.
So I hope that kind of made sense.
Yes. I completely get you. I think you really, really hit the nail on the hammer when you say it, filling yourself with God's
word. The nail
word.
On the hammer.
Yeah, because for me, I think
I'm going to wait for you to get it.
Sorry. You hit the nail on the head.
There we go.
You hit the nail with the hammer. All right, so I really think the real trick, it's much like swimming. You don't need to focus on getting yourself wet, or what are what's the science behind it,
buoyancy.
The buoyancy what clothes need to wear to get the most water. That's what you don't need to worry about all of that. You just need to get in the water, right, and stay in the water.
Sure.
So to get whatever effects that come from water and get all the benefits that come from it, so you don't need to think about every nook and cranny, because I think that when you get, I don't want to use the word technical necessarily, but when you get too fixated on the poetry of scripture, you then lose out on the practicality of it, right? Like, how can I actually apply this? What does my Monday to Sunday look like with me applying this to my life? And I really think that that really is the key. Like, in when your thoughts deviate or your thoughts wander off or meander off, It the easiest way to align them is just to continue working on your relationship with God.
That's so good.
Because if you're working on that, then it'll be easier for you to hear God. Mm. It won't take as much effort for God to turn you. Mm. You won't be that ship that God has to fetch other ships in order to steer to the right direction. So yeah, I loved that. I love that.
I really like that. And I feel like that scripture has helped me a lot in, like, especially that first line. That's the one that, like, solved my life.
Yeah.
Whatever is true. Whatever is true. And sometimes I'll be there, you know, even like, you know, you may have those arguments in the shower with other people that, you know, happened like 6 months ago, but like now you want to make your point because now you know what to say.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
In those moments, I think about it and it's almost like the Holy Spirit will stop me and say, is that true? Is this reality? And you say, no. And then you think, is this noble? No, it's harboring anger. It's bitterness. It's unforgiveness. And then you can say, oh, I recognize this thought is terrible for me to have. Let me take it. And then I literally will say, like, I'll be like, I bring that thought, I cast it down, and I bring it in obedience to Christ. I don't know. There's something about saying it. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
And I almost like picture like me grabbing the thought and like throwing it into a little cage and just be like, you are jailed.
Yeah.
And that's what's helping me on the journey of, you know, figuring that out. It is a process. It is a process. But I think the thing that I want to put to all of us is be aware. Like, let's not sleep on, okay, cool, I don't fornicate, but I have fantasies about fornication, so I'm technically not doing it. Our thoughts are just as important. Our thought life is just as important. We need to be pure in our thought life as well, whether it's about a sinful thing or just the fantasy of living life, you know, extravagantly, that may not, you know, have anything to do with God at all. But I think I say all of that to say that we should, you know, not just emphasize the sins that everyone can see, but we should also work on the sins that are literally just between you and God, that He knows your thoughts. He knows what's going on in your head. And you know that some of them are not kosher.
Yes.
And maybe today is the first time you found out, like I found out just earlier this year, that, you know, some of the things that I'm doing in my thought life are not productive. And the excuse of saying, you know, I'm a creative. We think about, you know, like, girl, stop. You know why you're doing this. You know why. And I think, you know, just the challenge to everyone to say, ask yourself why you think the way you do. And is it because you're hiding from something?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because you're not satisfied with the life that you're living? Is it because you're upset with God and you're disappointed that there are things that, you know,
aren't coming to fruition?
Do you really actually have a very negative self-view of yourself and you go to fantasy land to try and see yourself in a more positive light instead of dealing with what you're dealing with now? Or maybe you just think you are the best thing on planet Earth, and God needs to humble you. Whatever it is, I think I just want to encourage everyone to interrogate your thoughts. Think about your thought. Think about your thoughts. Think about your thoughts. But not only do that, get into the Word. And I think we say this almost every episode, but I guess that's how you know we're not crazy people.
Yeah.
Get into your Word. Know the Word of God. Know what His plans are for you, you know. Spend time in prayer. Do the things. Know God. And it will be easier to recognize when thoughts are leading you in the wrong direction and which ones are leading you towards a life and a future that God wants for you. So until next time, peace out.